B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's going on?
Wait a minute. You're in studio.
I'm back in studio.
Got that nice internet, huh?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. I just got off the phone with them, too.
I think personally it adds to the show.
I feel discouraged by it. I'm discouraged by the internet situation.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. What are you going to do? I like your wipes. You got nice wipes.
I'm just saying. If it's supposed to be a certain speed, it should be a certain speed. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. All right. All right, what's going on? What are you thinking
about? You're
going
to give him the money.
Stop. I thought that was Zoe. Don't do that to me today. I'm traumatized by that already.
Give it up, T-Bell. You know what? It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, my God, it is.
It's been a long week. It's been a weird week for a lot of people, obviously, as we continue to try to get through this. And I'm going to do it again today for another 4 hours.
I'm not kidding. I forgot it was Friday.
No, you didn't.
I'm not kidding. It's gorgeous outside. The last thing I thought was this is a Friday. This doesn't feel like a Friday. It just feels like another day.
Yeah, I think people get outside today. Obviously, keep your distance from people. But if you have the ability to go for a walk or drive in your car, put the windows down, get outside and have a little normalcy today.
Think it's going
to
be harder for us once the weather gets good?
No, I tell you what, we did. We actually took the dog over behind Bass Pro. Yesterday, you could park way out in the back. You go out in the back, there's a cranberry bog back there with this massive wood walkway through the woods and the cranberry bog. There's nobody there. And basically saw maybe five people, but not near anybody. Didn't touch anything. Just went out for a good brisk walk and came home. Gave you a little normalcy at the end of the day.
All right. Well, I've been hearing. Yeah, go ahead.
And then I get that damn Tiger King.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
I've got one episode to go.
I watched five last night.
I watched
Attaboy. There four. He is, just sitting there.
Yeah, three, four, yep. Five, and six. I've got seven. That's it. I've left the grand finale for myself for tonight.
Murray, what do you think? We've talked about it, but, like, your take.
Well, I just feel like every episode has some sort of twist at the end of it. You know,
that's the sign of a good miniseries.
You know, so it's, you know, I'm two episodes in, and I'm like, all right, where are we getting here? And then they start getting into Carol a little bit, who I don't believe is any saint.
I don't like Carol at
fraud.
All.
Fraud.
You know, then it's the two husbands.
You know what
and what they do.
I've realized that I don't like anybody in this thing.
No, of course you don't like anybody.
I don't like anybody.
You know, Carol acts so holier than thou, and she's not.
Well, you don't like the guy who like has the seven wives?
No.
So maybe I haven't gone that far yet.
I don't like anybody in the show. There's nobody. They all deserve each other.
They do.
Is how I feel about them. They all deserve each other. I thought in the early watching of Tiger King on Netflix, number one in the country right now, it's saving us all from coronavirus insanity. I thought that you would have someone to root for in this documentary, miniseries, whatever, limited
series.
Yeah,
I came out of the gate. I was all over jokes on it.
Right? Like, exactly.
That's my guy.
And he's sort of this charismatic guy, and you thought, this weirdo is the guy I want to root for. But he's not someone you end up liking either.
No.
There's nobody to like, which is what makes it fascinating. You have nobody to root for. I have no one to root for, but I'm desperate to see how this thing wraps up.
I'm rooting against people, though.
I'm rooting against all of them. I'm rooting for, I don't know what Carol's current status is. I hope she gets shut down. I hope they all get shut down. I hope it all ends.
I feel bad for the woman who lost her arm. Like, she seems like maybe the most normal one, and she's dying to go back to hurry up and get back and work with these people. I'm saying put the rest of them in a cage and let's tell the tigers it's feeding time. I feel bad she lost her arm.
Now, that would be a hell of an ending. I will say this, though. This series is extremely well produced. It moves. Oh, yeah. It doesn't lag all that much. You watch some of these. I watched the McMillions.
Yep, saw that.
Did you see that?
Yep.
I thought that thing dragged like crazy. And by the end, I was fast forwarding because I'm like, this is so painful. Mm. Just tell me how they scooped the game pieces and just got it. 6 episodes to tell you how they stole some McDonald's game pieces.
2 tops.
It could have been done in 2 hours. They did it in 6. Mm.
What's the name of the guy that he's the businessman at the end of the movie, and he helps coordinate and set him up for Joe to get taken in? But who's the businessman? It looks like Chubby.
I haven't seen the end.
Well, oh, okay. You know what I'm talking about then, Murray, right? You've been through 5.
Oh, is there a guy named Lowe? There's a guy named Lowe?
Lowe's the other bad guy.
He sucks.
The co-owner. He's the guy that took the zoo from Joe. I'm talking about the heavyset guy that looks like Chumley from Pawn Stars.
Yeah, yeah. He ran
the old Pawn
Stars clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
He also ran a pet store with the lemur.
Yeah. He bought the lemur illegally.
Yeah.
I hate our government. I can't stand everything. Yeah, I can't stand restrictions.
He had bad paperwork on a lemur in his pet store.
Shocking.
Whatever happened to the guy that was like the Scarface? Like, they showed him for a little bit. Mario, I haven't seen him since.
Mario had a small role in the series.
Yeah, he was the beginning. He didn't resurface.
I've said repeatedly he's the only semi-normal guy in it, and his past is insane.
Mm.
Like, drug kingpin slash murderer.
Cutting people up.
Was there cutting up bodies with, like, other drug lords. Like, what? That's the most normal guy in the show. What does that say for this show? I do think that 7 is probably the appropriate number because I've now watched 6 episodes. I'm ready for one more, and then that's it. Yeah. I've got it.
It's sort of like how you got towards the end of Evil Genius. And you're like, okay, I'm ready for the ending now. Did they catch us? They nail this sucker or what? It's entertaining. It's got me through this week, I tell you that. I don't know what I'm going to watch next week.
Exactly, right? Now you've got to go on to the next thing. This is my favorite tweet of the day from someone, Pete, on Twitter. I don't know how to say his last name. I will retweet it right now so you can see it for yourself. He says, me explaining Tiger King to my mom. There's a magician, meth head, tiger tamer, country singer, gay polygamist, an Alex Jones type, but with live tigers in his videos, and presidential/gubernatorial candidate. Mom, that's too many people to track. Me. Oh, no, that's just one guy. One guy. He is all of those things. Magician, meth head, tiger tamer, country singer, gay polygamist, Alex Jones type, with tigers in his videos, and also running for president and governor of Oklahoma. That is the Tiger King right there.
How much money did he spend on running?
By the way, how about his
campaign advisor? Like, who's this wacko?
Some of his marriages were legal because his name kept changing. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
His name, his actual name.
What's his name, Passage?
Yeah, it was Passage at one point. It kept changing.
I like how the kid from California took his name, too, because, Joe, I guess, is the male, and you're the one. It's crazy.
So, again, if you missed it yesterday, Zoe had the line of the day saying that Joe Exotic, he liked him because his taste in men was like going to a Baskin-Robbins, all 31 flavors. Mm.
He said
depends
52
how you wake
flavors
up that next day. What's that?
You said 52 flavors.
I can't remember what the hell the slogan was. When's the last time you've been to Baskin-Robbins, really?
I don't think they're really in abundance around here anymore.
They're not, man. Because we used to have one down in Maryland right at school on campus. That's the last time that. And then the TCPY, the yogurt place, came in. It took over it. So, it's the last time I saw one. That's like 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I want my men like Baskin-Robbins.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We do have some sports news today. Unfortunately, some of it is related to shutdowns of sports. That would be baseball. Fortunately, some of it is about keeping things going. That would be football and Roger Goodell. Zoe's already clapping.
Love it.
Why don't we get to that Roger Goodell story coming up?
Sure.
We'll do that next. It is Beetle and Joe Murray in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And so, at home, I'm jealous. We'll get to your calls, and we'll talk about Roger Goodell and what the NFL is doing with their draft next.
Give me 51 flavors, man.
Zolak, Bertrand, Middays on 98.5.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell all the hunters to lay down their guns. Tell them that the tiger needs a little bit of love. Let them run.
By the way, the obvious answer for what we're going to watch,
let them roam
as it drops today, I think it's probably already up on Netflix now,
stand back and marvel,
is Ozark. I don't know if you're into Ozark, Zoe, but I would start watching that. It's a good show. Jason Bateman.
I like him.
Yeah, it's the start of season three. Seasons one and two have been spectacular.
He was in The Breakup. I like him.
Yeah, and he's the main character, but he plays a serious role of a money launderer.
Oh.
So, it's...
He was good in Horrible Bosses. Oh.
So, I would check that out. That starts today. Could do that. How about this from the NFL? They're going to go forward with their draft. That led to a round of applause from you, Zoe.
Yes.
Round of applause.
Let's just do it. Like, you know, all of your scouting. Get back to watching tape. And Lombardi even said it's going to be so much more to the coaches and GMs that have the ability to decipher what they're seeing and actually watching on tape instead of depending on interviews. So,
do you know who I think benefits from this?
Who?
The New England Patriots. And I'll tell you why. They have interviewed so many people. And do you know how often they actually go ahead and draft the guys they interview?
I don't know if you remember this. But do you remember the Senior Bowl? Scott Pioli was at the Senior Bowl, and he put out a tweet and a picture of a video, and he panned left to right. And this was at 6:30 a.m., I think, in the morning, first day of practice, like going back to Tuesday of that Senior Bowl week. And he goes, you know what I'm looking at here? Six different interviews all going on with individual athletes at tables, at these big round tables. He goes, you know who's conducting them? The New England Patriots, all six scouts. And he typed the word culture. Culture is ingrained. It's instilled upon you. This is the way you do business. So all that stuff, the legwork that they did and didn't get late to the dance too, like some teams do. Some teams, you know, they start looking at combine and, okay, which guy's on our draft board? Oh, this guy's climbing up. Why are the Giants or the Patriots talking to this guy? We should be talking to this guy. And they're late to the dance. So all that pre-work that this team did is, to your point, correct that, you know, this is going to benefit them here in the long run.
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of figuring out who's had visits over the years and who hasn't. I'm going back. I've already started. So I'll have that for you probably next week. Doing a little research. The research department is up and running on this.
Oh, God, Beetle. I saw the stat. I think in the last...
Someone's already done it? That would be really fun for me and easy.
I think the last 152 interviews they've done, they've drafted five guys.
Okay, so there you go. That's
visits,
fine.
Visits, I'm sorry, visits.
Good enough. We'll get more details on
it's
this.
It's small. It's a small number, man.
Leading up to the draft. But I know historically that the number of guys that actually come in for visits and actually then end up getting drafted is a low percentage for the Patriots.
Because the homework's already done. It's almost like they talk themselves out of it by bringing the kid in.
Right, so they actually use those interviews to find who they love. They use those interviews to find who they don't like, which is fine, and that works, you know, that helps too. But I think they'll be fine. I'm not worried about the Patriots' ability to draft. In fact, I think that maybe my only fear is that Bill Belichick starts leaning on those college coach friends of his more than he typically already does, which I think has been a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just one thing to bring up. I think it does benefit the Patriots how Belichick goes to Mid-Tennessee State and sees all these guys. But when it comes to actually drafting a quarterback, I think this is where it could be tough. Like a guy like Tua, right?
Sure.
You don't know what he right now. You don't know what his physical condition is. The guy's uber skilled. You know, Saban can say whatever he wants about the guy, but if you can't see him, you can't identify him, and that's a problem for a lot of teams around the NFL.
Let's talk about Tua for a second. Then this is a good point, Joe. Does Tua move up or move down? He's a high profile guy. He put out that video last week where he looked great.
Yeah.
Does a guy like that, who's a really well known player coming out, does this benefit him or hurt him?
I think it hurts him.
Hurts.
I
think people are going to get enamored with the size. Not enamored with the size, but I think they're going to talk themselves out of taking him because, shoot, we didn't have the ability to bring him in. How big was he? Did you stand next to him at the Super Bowl?
You saw it. I'm like 5'11 and 3/4. Like, I have hair under 6 feet. My license says 6 feet, though. I'd like that to be.
He's listed at 6'1".
I just want the record to reflect that I was closer to 6 feet than I was 5'11".
No. I'm 6'5", Joe. I'm an easy. I'm
so
almost.
You know, You know,
I'm almost 7 inches taller than him.
You know what was great is he was standing up against a wall, and there happened to be like these lines in the wall, sort of part of the paneling and the architecture in the room we were in. And I said to Jim, I go, Jim, I said, I'm going to go stand like 5 feet next to him. I'm not going to get shoulder to shoulder. I go, I'm just going to go stand on the same wall, and you see where I'm at on that line that goes straight across. And Jim's like, oh, my God, he's so short. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, I'm not sure he's taller than you. I'm like, yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he is tall. I think he is under 6 feet is what he is.
Was he measured at the combine? Actually, I looked that up.
Yes.
But
yeah,
he was.
Yep.
And did they say he was 6 feet?
Yeah.
Just one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoe says it's fraudulent. Zoe says it's totally fraudulent. They fake it.
What were you listed at, Zoe?
6'5" and a change. 6'5" and a quarter.
What was the thing about stretching the short quarterbacks, like having their back stretched out and like going into one of those stretcher machines before they go for the measurement? Right?
They go see a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And they
saw
hips,
the tricks of the trade.
Make sure you crack my hips. They have this roller machine you lay on, and it just stretches your back out, and you hang on a bar. They say, I see all these little guys in there. Well, it's usually the little running backs or receivers are all hanging on pull-up bars trying to stretch themselves out. Yeah. By half an inch out there.
N'Keal Harry was a visit last year. How does that make you feel?
They probably brought him and Debo Samuel in, which they did.
Yeah, the guys that they drafted, Jo'Wan Williams.
Debo Samuel was running his mouth in a parking lot, like, I'll be back, I'll see y'all then. They're like inside going, cross him off the list. And they drafted Harry.
Well, I can tell you that N'Keal Harry and Jo'Wan Williams were visits last year alone.
Yeah.
I wasn't concerned all that much with last year, but that would have been the easiest one to look up.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Those are the two guys. Those visits make those guys can't miss picks? I don't think it did. They'll be fine without their visits.
And if they were to draft a quarterback, I'm starting to think it won't be early in this draft because there is talent in the third, fourth, fifth rounds, and they have plenty of picks to do so. So if they take a shot, it's the kid from Washington State or Lewerke from Michigan State, at least those are guys that are late round picks you can take a chance.
And yes, the Patriots did host Debo Samuel on April 11th last year. So they had him in, too.
And A.J. Brown.
How did they miss on that one?
Maybe they didn't like him.
Could have had the cousins. Could have had Antonio and A.J. together.
Could have lived together. Yeah.
Could have been friends. Yeah. Didn't work out for them. Okay.
They're really related.
So another thing is this. Roger Goodell has told executives in the league, now that the league has said, no, we're going forward with the draft. We talked about this the other day. Is the league going to win out? Are people going to pay attention? And will the GMs in the league overcome Goodell and shut this thing down before it happens? Not the case. Goodell wins. He gets whatever he wants. It will happen from the 23rd to the 25th. And he wrote in a memo, internal memo to the league, that public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action.
Oh, he's telling them shut their traps.
That's exactly
what he's
doing.
He's telling you the owners want to go on with the draft. And everybody that works for them, shut the hell up. Yeah? Do your job to draft football players.
Do you have an issue with that?
I don't, because I think you can do this draft. You know, do you really need to? See, now here's the problem. Here's going to be the problem. The guys that have medicals, like you brought up Tua. Said, can you really bring him in for one last look with your guys? Can't do it. But Tom Brady signed a contract, right? Signed a contract based off a physical that he took on an agreeable doctor that was suitable for both parties.
Right.
He did that in New York. So I think if there's such a serious issue with a guy like a knee or a shoulder, Patriots have done this with guys in the past out of Florida that had the knee, that dropped in the draft. Who the hell's the first round pick they had? Easily, right? Dominic Easley. Coming off knee surgeries. I'm sure there's a guy that you could find that's reputable by the school that could either okay the kid or not. I think you can do that with medicals. Now, it won't be perfect for you, but, I mean, if you really, really need to do a last-minute check, I think that can be done.
So Goodell said that he has personally discussed the matter with many other owners, club executives, and coaches, and there is widespread support for the conclusion to proceed with the draft as scheduled, saying that everyone recognizes the public health conditions and that they are highly uncertain, and there is no assurance that we can select a different date and be confident that conditions will be significantly more favorable than they are today. This I agree with. I do agree with this part of it, that as of now, what? How do we know that pushing it back 2 weeks or pushing it back 3 weeks or a month is any better than having it on the date that it is going to be held on?
Correct. Then you lose time. And then it's like one part of your planning and structure. You know, it's taken away or it's a setback. I don't think there's going to be OTAs. You're going to have the draft.
Yeah.
They're going to have camp, and they're not going to have OTAs.
As Goodell says, because of the circumstances, they're going to hold the draft in a different way. By the way, their plan is still to have it over the course of 3 days, not change it or draw it out over the course of 5 or 6 days. I will say this, though, just because they are saying this now on the 27th of March, that it's set in stone and it will happen on that date, the world could be different in 3 weeks.
Sure.
And the climate could be different in 3 weeks. And this very event, despite all of the "we're doing this" from Roger Goodell, may not happen. I would not say that is an impossible. I mean, look at how many things have drastically changed in a month's time.
Yeah.
So
ever since Rudy Gobert touched somebody, right, made fun of the microphones.
Yeah, right.
Everything
great.
Changed.
Make your final plans until all of a sudden they're not final anymore.
My whole thing is, why the threat for public discourse? Like, if people come out against this, like, disciplinary action, if someone comes out against.
So people are getting, he's getting crushed for this today. I don't feel like it's that big of a deal. I mean, I feel like that's, yeah, everyone has a boss. And your boss is going to tell you, don't talk crap about our own product and our own business. Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's not unusual. It's an internal memo. And he's telling all those guys, shut your mouth.
Yeah, don't crap in your own bed.
Right? I mean, that's sort of what it is. I don't think that's that big of a deal. Florio's irate about it, though.
Sean Payton was at the beginning.
I read about Goodell telling the...
Right. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, Florio's been pounding. This thing's going to, you know... Florio's been anti-draft for a while. You know, he's talking to some GMs and said, we can't operate like this. We can't fly. We can't bring medicals in. We can't meet with guys. This is the way we do business. And not every, like I said, not all 32 do it the same way. You say, who's it going to benefit? It's going to benefit a team like New England that starts doing prep a long time ago and has a ton of people working in the college game.
I'm looking for this story, but I read this morning, and now I got to find it. I can't find the story. Maybe it was edited. Florio said that the situation we're currently going through is similar to that, or is the most drastic change of life since World War II, is what he said. And I thought, guy, like, whoa. And I guess you could, in a way, describe it as World War II in the sense that, you know, sports has stopped, but... I just read that, and I'm like, all right. Like, I don't know that's the best defense for NFL executives should be able to say whatever they want.
He was on the Kennedy assassination a week ago. Remember, like, they screwed up then. They played after that. They shouldn't have played.
Oh, I tweeted that jokingly when they about the NFL. Like, they were the same league that played a couple of days after Kennedy got assassinated. So they're all in on going forward, doing our thing. You know, paying tribute to Pete Rozelle for doing that. 617-779-0985. If you have thoughts on the draft going forward on that date, tell us what you think. Who does it impact? Does it help or hurt the Patriots? And the other thing is, a guy like Tua, does Tua move up? Does Tua move down? I actually think he might move up for a couple of reasons. We can talk about that coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
Part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Beetle and Joe Murray in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Zoe broadcasting from his room of helmets and posters of himself.
That's right.
I really like that picture on over your right shoulder in the huddle. It's a nice one.
Oh, that one, yeah. It's a good group of guys there. Marv Cook was an all-pro at that time. I got the good Irving Fryer there. That was when Irving was working his ass off. Greg McMurtry and Pat Harlow. So Millen shouldn't have started that game. He came back, and remember they cleared him against the Colts? You probably don't remember that, but they cleared him, and I was bull crap over that. I should have started, so they didn't get me ready to play. And then he threw me in there at the end when he sucked. So,
You don't you just don't see a lot of NFL quarterbacks kneel right down in the huddle like that anymore. I think Breeze does it from time to time.
I think Russell Wilson, I think, does.
Yeah,
Wilson, he does. That's right, Murray. Yeah. I think it's all Phil. You know, you just like to get down there and see everybody's face.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-0985. Speaking of quarterbacks, does Tua move up or move down? We briefly touched on this last segment. I think he could move up for these reasons. One, the runs on quarterbacks. You know how those happen.
Yeah.
Everyone gets nervous. That's how Johnny Manziel blew up and went early. That's how a lot of guys have ended up going earlier than they should have gone. So I look at sorry about that. I moved that around, didn't I? I made a mess. Sorry. Nothing so. There were some issues with the camera here in studio.
Oh.
So I think that the run on quarterbacks, and he's a big name. He's a big, well-known name. And so I think that there are GMs in the league and front office executives that are afraid, that are scared when they draft. And they're afraid of what the public feedback is going to be. They're afraid of what the feedback is from their own owner. And when you draft big-name players, you get more of a leash from all of those parties, everybody involved, right? You draft Tua and he doesn't work out. Well, come on, guys. I mean, that was Tua. Everyone thought that he was going to have some semblance of a decent NFL career, right? That guy's a starter in the league. Look at the. I just think that applies. That doesn't apply here. I don't think that is ever an issue in New England. But in other places, that's real. This is a stupid league we're talking about.
Yeah. Like anybody, and especially when you hit free agency, all it takes is one dumb team.
Yes.
To ruin it for everyone.
Yes.
look what Mariota got again to play. What did he get? $8 million? Like, yeah. Tannehill's making 30. He's making 8. Like,
what a league.
Those really good quarterbacks? Come on. Like, weird.
So that's one reason. The other part is with limited knowledge that or limited ability for the guys who do obsess over the interviews.
Yeah.
They might feel safer going with Tua, even with his injury, versus a lesser-known guy. They feel like they've got more tape. They've got more analysis.
Yeah.
They've got more of everything on him than they may other players.
And I think the worst teams also factor in, you know, fandom. And are they going to like this player?
Yes.
Should we draft him to put people in the seats? Not is he a great football player, but will he help? Will he help us?
Will he create a buzz?
Yeah, will he create
a
buzz?
And he will create a buzz no matter where he goes.
He's going to take him, which means he's going to go to a crap team. And that's where you feel bad for the guy.
So real quick.
Joe Burrow, go ahead.
No, you're going to say Joe Burrow probably should go one, right? To Cincinnati.
He's going one. Oh, yeah.
And I hope the Dolphins trade up. That's what I hope. It doesn't sound like he wants to be there. They have the draft capital to do it. And I think he'd be a star in Miami. Like a kid from LSU who ran that type of offense, he'd be a star there. But we keep talking about, like, I think it's bad for Tua. And I think it'd be a risk for the Lions to take a chance on Tua. I do. They got Stafford here who's already got issues. Yeah. And then if you look at the Dolphins, if they go with Tua, what are they going to go with Fitzpatrick for another year and then hope Tua's the right guy? And if he's not, you know, they made another terrible decision. So I'd rather have another team make that mistake than those two bad teams.
What about the Lions in on Tua? Yay or nay?
Nay.
Okay. All right.
I just think, I mean,
Zola said that Stafford could eventually get traded there.
Yeah.
No idea when, but it could happen.
No, but I think they said no now. So, but there were rumors coming out, man.
I don't think that's the right coach.
I believe the rumors. I don't believe what they say publicly. I believe the rumors. And the rumor be that he could be on the move. Maybe not this offseason, but next.
Watch them get a guy like Fromm. Another Georgia kid. Kind of squatty, but could still spin it. Stafford's not a big guy. You know, but he could throw. He could throw.
Do you guys see what we're doing here? We're talking about the NFL draft. We never do this ahead of the draft.
We're doing a draft, but like,
what did I say? I promised
it.
We'd start talking draft. We'd start talking NFL draft. That's what we have.
Show in town, bro.
We will do it.
Show in town.
We will do it. 617-779-0985. Jake's in Boston. Jake.
Gentlemen, how we doing? Listen, on the draft, no one needs this to be delayed more than Bill Belichick. Do we know why he was at Middle Tennessee State? Tell the truth, Zoe, because instead of being at the combine on the 24th, 25th, and 26th like you should have been, meeting with quarterbacks, tight ends, and wide receivers in person, because that was their period, and they have a desperate need at tight end in addition to a question mark at quarterback, Bill was with Linda in Nashville, and Middle Tennessee State is an hour away, and that was a photo op, and Bruce Arians was down there there doing the song and dance on Brady, and they met with only four quarterbacks, and one of which was Fromm, who I think sucked. Yeah,
but Jake, then Bill went to the combine. He went to the combine.
He went to the TV part. This was the Q&A, the one-on-one, the psychiatric evaluation. This was the gold of the combine, not the TV program. And listen, now he's lost the pro days. So there's new. There's now he without the pro days. What's he going to do now? Talk to the coaches?
No, he likes Stidham. He knew then he was going to, if Brady's not coming back and they're going to do a one-year deal, we're rolling with Stidham.
No, I think Jake's does have a point, though, and I don't know that you can blame Bill Belichick for knowing the coronavirus was going to happen, but he is
Nobody
a coach. I don't think he's a coach that's huge on the combine, is he?
No. No, and some coaches didn't even go this year to the combine.
He was there.
At least Skarnecchia was there, even though he's retired.
Yeah, he was not the only coach missing during the early part of that combine. There were coaches that didn't even make it, as Joe just said. Did Sean McVay go? I remember reading that.
I think he pulled out. Yeah, there were a couple of teams that just wanted nothing to do with the combine.
About McDaniel?
Well, that's why you have a full scouting department.
You know,
like, that's why you're there.
So I brought this up over the weekend. Like, McDaniels is still here. And, like, I don't know why. Like, you actually think that he's going to help Jared Stidham? Like, and maybe it's good for him. Like, if he can show that he can help another quarterback progress, like, that will get him another job. But through this whole Brady stuff that we talked about for weeks, Josh McDaniels' name never was brought up. When Brady left, he never brought up McDaniels' name. I mean, I just don't know if that's the guy I want taking over the next quarterback here for the Patriots, or at least, you know, I guess who he's worked with. That's probably not the guy you want with a young kid.
Well, I mean, he was calling the plays in the preseason when Stidham was basically getting all the snaps. You know, so, and I liked what they threw at him. So I'm not that worried about Josh McDaniels.
And Hoyer looked good last offseason, too, so I'll give him that.
Hoyer outplayed Stidham. But they said, you know what, if it's somewhat even, and that's what NFL teams do, you go with the young kid over the veteran, high-priced veteran.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up next. Also, what's that?
Nice.
We'll get to the top.
What? I got an update.
On what?
From one of my good buddies. He's a doctor heading in to take care of some things. Says there is a Baskin-Robbins in Wellesley. He said, ask Felger.
Okay, then. Good to know.
How about that?
I don't go over there often.
Yeah, and if I'm going to Wellesley, I'm not going to get ice cream.
617-779-0985. Baseball's plans, are they going to have a season? I'm starting to think they may not play. We'll do that coming up at 11. Don't go anywhere.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Was
this on Lyle's wedding list playlist?
No.
We're going to get back to that today. Like, we're not just going to let that go by the wayside. Some of the ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know that
was on that.
It's Strokin was on there, which was interesting.
Which he said every single one of his friends had, that this is a big wedding thing around here in New England.
Maybe it
I
is.
I didn't have it on mine.
Not
it
at my wedding.
Not at my wedding.
Not any of my friends' weddings.
It's actually like a dumb song. Stroking.
Hey. I'll be Clarence Carter, right?
Yes.
I'll be stroking.
Stroking.
Stroking to the left. I'll be stroking to the
right. Murray, you got a bunch of towny friends. You've been to weddings. Do you have your wedding?
Yeah, dude. I had a great DJ in Baltazar, who you guys may know.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, come on. You had Baltazar DJ at the wedding.
He was the man. Played all the hits. And it was a lot of 90s hip hop. Like, I got my Ice Cube shirt on today, so we had, you know, today was a good day.
But that's different. Yeah. Yeah.
All the stuff you like, Zo.
Good. Hell yeah, I do.
But no Journey, no, like, Don't Stop Believing.
Zo likes a good wedding, but if it's a bad wedding, he tends to leave very early.
No, not really.
That's how it's been described. You stuck it out through the Cattle's wedding, which you've complained about
for decades. He didn't feed us for 3 hours.
But under normal circumstances, you would have left.
Jim could attest to this. We hung in there.
Like, yeah, see? That's what I'm saying.
Get Hardy on the line. He was there.
Let's go to Paula.
That's pure hell.
Paula's in New Hampshire. Paula.
Hey.
Hi, this is Paula.
Paula, welcome back.
You're welcome. Anyway, I love the idea of the NFL draft being at the NFL draft this year. I love it. I love that decision. I really do.
Okay.
Zoe does too. Paula. Zoe absolutely loves it.
I like Paula.
Zoe loves that decision. Loves that the draft is going to stay put.
Yes.
If the world isn't, you know, a much different place in 3 weeks, which it very well could be.
I'm rooting for the draft just to get done and get over with and not assemble as people, right? Like, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying, hey, let's just, like, screw everything that's going on and do the draft. You know, work from home, work from your computers, do it online, do it on Zoom, do it on Skype. You should be able to conduct business.
Let's go to Joe in the car. What's up, Joe?
Hey, just question for the sportsman on his Trevor Lawrence take. Seeing if he's still going to go through with that awesome idea how he wants the Pats to take Trevor Lawrence. What do you think, sportsman?
He must be referring to me.
I was going to say.
He's called me before. I don't know what I've ever said about Trevor Lawrence. I don't think the Patriots could ever tank in the AFC East, and I don't think that the Patriots will ever tank because they have Bill Belichick, and Belichick's going for that record. So, yeah, that guy calls all the time, and he gives me crap. I don't know why.
Attaboy, sports fan.
Sportsman.
Sportsman.
But by the way, can we just get that out of the way? The Patriots will not tank.
Ever.
They can't tank in the AFC East. You can't tank in the AFC East.
You still have to play the Jets twice.
That's what I mean. You can't tank. It's ownership, impossible.
Ownership and the head coach will never let it happen. Just don't ever call our show again with that dumb take.
JP's in North Providence. JP.
Zoe, I just looked at a 96 Camaro black convertible. I may not drive it anywhere. I'll just sit in the damn thing with the roof down. Thought you'd appreciate having the iRock back.
How much?
$3,000, and the price is dropping.
I saw a red
my
one.
Trade my Connor and, yep.
I saw a red one down the street here for me. It was cracked up. Guy's fixing it up. It's got to be an 87, 88, and it's got the old mag wheels on it. I almost lost it. I'm thinking of getting one.
Play some Journey rolling down the street. Hey, I got a quick NFL question, which I hadn't thought of. A quick vent and something for Joe Murray. My question, and you can answer off air, Zoe. Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards, throws a lot of picks. Couldn't a good coach teach him how not to throw picks, but you can't teach a guy how to throw the ball down the field like that? And then my rant is, you know, Drew Brees and his wife, good job donating $5 million. Just shows what a jerk Jeremy Jacobs is. And for Joe Murray, they just announced Braun Strowman's facing Goldberg instead of Roman Reigns, and I bet Sting's going to show up. They're setting it up, Joe.
Ooh,
wow, JP, you got to get a lot of takes there.
Yeah, in case you guys didn't hear, Roman Reigns, who's actually like the face of WWE, will not participate in WrestleMania because of the coronavirus. He did have leukemia in the last year, or lymphoma, I believe, and he just doesn't want to be a part of it in case
he's sick.
Don't blame
him. Don't blame him. He should wash his hair sometime. You know, I know the greasy hair is his thing, like the long greasy hair and that, but just a little pert every once in a while won't hurt.
Yeah, a little bit. Drew Brees, I just saw that story.
$5 million, dude. $5 million.
$5 million.
I heard Fred and Rich touching on this too, and Fred's like, he's gonna be figure there when he's done.
And he
as
already
opposed
is.
To Tom as opposed he, to Tom Brady here.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean,
different reasons.
Drew Brees is going to be iconic in that community for different reasons. One is sort
Katrina.
Of going there after Katrina and moving. You know, I think he moved right into the French Quarter when he got there and, you know, was all about bringing back New Orleans after Katrina.
Yeah.
And now this. I mean,
yeah,
a $5 million donation.
This makes
to the state of efforts in Louisiana. Yeah.
Makes Jacobs look bad.
It makes a lot of owners look bad.
Sure.
It makes a lot of sports owners and leagues look bad.
I saw Chandler Jones today. He's donating 150,000 mils to his home, former hometown.
His brother got arrested again, and then that story
Bones.
Comes right out.
Yeah. He had a weapon too, right, Joe?
Yeah. Look, listen, I'm a huge UFC guy. This guy might be one of the best of all time. And he can't keep
Do you remember when his toe was hanging off and it was broken?
Yeah.
And he was still kicking a guy? I'm like... The toe was hanging down. It looked like Pete Carroll's finger.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. What's up with baseball? Do you think they're going to shut things down? Looking at some of the reports today, I think that could possibly be the case. We're going to talk about that. We'll continue to take your calls on everything you got. 617-779-0985. We'll do that after headlines here with Joe. No commercials. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.